Welcome to today's reading of the Midland Reporter Telegram and the Odessa American, read by volunteers and staff. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand at recordinglibrary.org.
This is Reed, and this is the Midland Reporter Telegram Weekend Edition for Saturday, October 26th, 2024. Texas rig count steady at 283 this week. Numbers are still down 28 from last year. Drilling activity has steadied after falling 4 or 5 weeks. Oilfield services firm Baker Hughes said Friday its weekly U.S. rig count was unchanged at 585 rigs. Still, that's down 40 rigs or 6% from the 625 rigs at work a year earlier. The rig count was down 2 rigs for the month of October, reversing September's gain of 4 rigs. The number of rigs seeking crude oil fell by 2 rigs to 480, 24 fewer than the 504 drilling for oil last year. For the month, the rig count was down 4 after gaining 1 rig in September. The number of rigs drilling for natural gas was up by 2 rigs to 101. That's down 16 rigs from 117 a year earlier. The natural gas rig count continued its monthly winning streak, gaining 2 rigs in October after gaining 4 in September. Texas was unchanged at 283 rigs, 28 fewer than the 311 rigs active across the state last year. New Mexico was up 1 rig to 100. Ohio 1 and Oklahoma 1 joined New Mexico as producing states to see a gain. Louisiana 2 and Pennsylvania 1 were the 2 producing states to see declines. Like Texas, the Permian Basin was unchanged for the week, reporting 304 rigs. That's down 9 rigs from 313 last year. Lee County, New Mexico, remains the most active county in the Permian with 50 rigs, up 1 for the week. Eddy County, New Mexico, saw 47 rigs for a 3rd consecutive week. Martin County fell 3 rigs to 28 for the week. Midland County added rigs for a 2nd week, gaining 1 rig for 27 at work within county lines. Reeves County likewise gained a rig for 26. Loving County saw 22 rigs, down 2 for the week. Reagan, Upton, and Ward counties each had 13 rigs, unchanged for Reagan, down 1 for Upton, and up 1 for Ward. Andrews and Howard counties each had 10 rigs, up 3 for each county. Energy-dedicated software as a service firm in Veris said its U.S. rig count for the week ended October 18th, fell 3 rigs to 594, and is down 42 rigs or 6% from 636 a year earlier. The number of rigs drilling for oil was up 1 rig to 163, but is down 208 rigs or 54% from 371 a year earlier. The number of rigs drilling for natural gas was down 2 rigs to 83 and is down 69 rigs or 45% from 152 the previous year. ExxonMobil continues to lead the top 10 operators by rig count with 35 rigs, unchanged for the week. ConocoPhillips was unchanged at 28 and Occidental Petroleum was down 1 rig to 27 rigs. Enverus Permian rig count was down 1 rig to 290, down 22 or 7% from 312 a year earlier. The most active play, the Delaware, was down 1 rig to 168 and is down 4 rigs or 3% from 172 a year ago. The Midland Basin was down 2 rigs to 101 and is down 18 rigs or 15% from 119 last year. Looking at trailing 30-day drilling permits, the Permian had 756 permits as of the week ended October 4th, down from 779 the previous week, but above the 733 reported last October. Enverus reported the Permian had 115 frac crews as of the week ended October 4th, down from 119 the previous week and 158 a year earlier. City's first Chalk the Block event showcases local art talent. Inaugural Chalk the Block, 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. Saturday at Centennial Park. Bring your creativity and enjoy a fun-filled day as kids of all ages transform our sidewalks into vibrant works of art. This family-friendly event offers artistic activities, live entertainment, food trucks, and a chance to connect with the community. Event includes chalk art competitions for professional artists and high school students. The City of Midland is hosting its inaugural Chalk the Block on Saturday, providing an opportunity for Midlanders and local artists to showcase their talents and transform Centennial Park into a colorful canvas. Chalk the Block is a family-friendly event from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. that features art activities, food trucks, vendors, bounce houses, games, entertainment, and a chalk art contest. Local artist Sarah Scholl, known as Miss Sarah, is the event's featured artist. Scholl became known as, quote, Miss Sarah, end quote, throughout her time teaching young children on various educational platforms. She has painted a few local murals, works with canvas paintings, does face paintings, and is adding digital art creation to her portfolio. Quote, I love color, art, and I love Midland, end quote, Scholl said. Quote, that's why I want to be at Chalk the Block, end quote. Although Scholl isn't competing in the chalk art contest, she will be providing face painting by appointment and wants to create an interactive chalk art installation during the event. It feels, quote, it feels good to be a part of this event, end quote, Scholl said. Quote, I'm excited about it and excited to see people utilizing the park to create art, end quote. The chalk art contest has nearly 20 artists who are competing for cash prizes, including the first place prize of $5,000 cash and an opportunity to paint a mural downtown. The contest accepted both professional and amateur artists. It will also feature local high school students who are also eligible to win prizes. Quote, I think it's always fun to see that live art process, end quote, Scholl said. Quote, it makes things feel alive, end quote. Local artists can start creating their chalk work in their designated space at 7 a.m., and the judging for the contest will begin at 1 p.m. The contest will also feature a People's Choice Award where the community can vote on their favorite piece. Quote, I think Chalk to Block is a good place for people to check out the local art scene, end quote, Scholl said. Quote, I think it's awesome that Midland is investing so much into the community, end quote. Attendees of the event will also be able to create their own chalk art. Chalk the Block will allow participants to create their own art along Wall Street. Quote, we have so much local talent, and this is an opportunity that showcases that, end quote, Scholl said. Quote, Midland is also very diverse, and that is, diversity is shown through art, end quote. She added that she hopes to see everyone going to the event and enjoying all the activities. Quote, there's going to be so many artists and so much diversity, end quote, Scholl said. Quote, I feel very honored and humbled to be a part of the inaugural event, end quote. City Council delays decision on O'Mulligan's contract at Hogan Park. O'Mulligan's 19th hole will have to wait a little bit longer to see if it will continue to operate at Hogan Park Golf Course. At its meeting Tuesday, City Council tabled awarding a contract to the concessions provider. O'Mulligan's has operated at Hogan Park for about 20 years and was the only vendor who responded to a request for proposal for concession management services. The new contract would have an initial term for 5 years with the option to renew annually for up to 5 additional years. Staff recommended approval, but Councilman Scott Dufford stepped in with concerns. Quote, we've renewed this contract 5 or 6 times since I've been here, end quote, said Dufford, who pulled the item from the consent agenda for further discussion. Quote, we ought to think about shortening the time frame with all the things we've got going on out there. We may need a larger concession area, end quote. With fewer golf courses in Midland with the recent closings of Nueva Vista and Ranchland Hills, the City of Midland is in the process of upgrading offerings at the lone municipal golf course in the county. Improvements so far include a $6 million upgrade to its irrigation system and the installation of a $3 million reverse osmosis water treatment system, as well as bathroom and clubhouse renovations. Hogan Park's growth left Dufford wondering whether O'Mulligan's could successfully manage an upgraded facility and asked for a vote deferral. Quote, we're not in any hurry on this, end quote, he said. Council members voted unanimously to defer. FBI agent says crude oil thefts are on the rise in the Permian Basin. Theft in the oil field is a battle, but equipment isn't a thief's only target. Experts say crude oil theft in the Permian Basin has risen this year. Supervisory Special Agent Britton Goad of the Midland Branch of the Federal Bureau of Investigation recently shared the challenges faced by law enforcement and oil companies.
He said that larger operators use advanced security measures, but smaller operators often lack the resources for effective monitoring. Quote, it depends on the lease with that company or that upstream company, specifically where their lease sits and what kind of resources they have, end quote, Goad told the Reporter Telegram. Quote, some of your larger operators, Pioneer, Diamondback, Chevron, Oxy, have more robust mechanisms to secure their leases with what they use for camera systems, end quote. Larger operators employ security devices that alert them of who is on their lease and who is accessing pump heads or pump jacks. For smaller operators, lacking the financial resources to provide added security measures means access to oil leases is easier. That presents a challenge. Quote, the Permian Basin is almost 28,000 square miles, end quote, Goad said. Quote, it is a very vast territory and it's very rural. There's very little cell phone data, so these smaller operators sometimes don't have anything out on their site to know that somebody has been out there to pull the oil from those batteries or their location, end quote. He said that, on average, smaller operators might not notice a theft until a week or two later, when they are going through their log sheets. While most oil lease spaces are locked and closed to the public, Goad said some of the locks lack the strength to ward off potential thieves. Quote, they usually use something simple, like a $10 or $12 lock, end quote, he said. Quote, but that can be easily cut. Once thieves can cut that, and if they have access to the equipment that is necessary to pull vast qualities of oil or water off that site, that's all they need, end quote. Goad said oil companies monitor flaring as well as gas release to examine pipelines and their infrastructure. However, aerial surveillance seems to be a technology that is still growing in the Permian Basin. Quote, I don't know any of the oil companies that have yet utilized drones to go out and inspect their leases, end quote, Goad said. Quote, from a security perspective, I am very interested in that, and I think other law enforcement entities would be too. I am not aware of anybody that's flying drones to patrol their lease sites. It is something that I think would be interesting and something oil companies should be thinking about. It seems like the level of technology is there, but maybe not being fully utilized to that extent yet, end quote. A challenge within the Permian Basin is the lack of communications infrastructure. Quote, we don't have very good infrastructure from a cellular mobile data capacity out in the Permian, end quote, Goad said. Quote, one thing that I have been talking with the oil companies is suggesting that they talk to their legislatures and work with the telecom industry in trying to get better service in this region, because that way they would be able to tie in their camera systems to a cloud-based system, end quote. At this point, the camera systems many companies use aren't connected to a network. Quote, most of their cameras that are out on the leases are trail cams, end quote, he said. Quote, those cameras usually use a SIM card and a battery system. It's better than nothing because it provides investigators some data after the theft, but thieves can figure out where those cameras are placed, end quote. Additionally, the trail cameras can be located using an infrared flashlight because there's a reflective lens on the camera. Quote, if you were out in the middle of nowhere, in the dark, then thieves will just go and disable that camera, or steal it, or break it, end quote, Goad warned. Quote, and so if the camera system didn't have a way to upload that image up to the cloud, then it didn't serve any purpose, end quote. For retired FBI agent and security advisor Corey Richardson, certain preventative measures such as locking gates, providing good lighting to a lease site, maintaining a real-time camera system, and only operating during certain set hours can curb crude oil theft. Richardson operates Vista One, a private security company. His clients include oil and gas operators in the Permian Basin. Richardson believes that while technology can help solve crude oil theft, it's not the only method. Quote, I think we are probably on the cusp of being able to implement some better security, because technology is always evolving, end quote, he said. Quote, so it is a very real possibility, but it's not the end-all solution. At the end of the day, it's going to take a good old-fashioned investigation, end quote. Richardson said crude oil thieves have knowledge about locations and the places where leases exist. They also know the equipment being used. Quote, most of them have some awareness of what storage batteries are, end quote, he said. Quote, and most probably have some oil in them that didn't get hauled away that day. So they have some awareness of this specific battery is showing a high level, end quote. In addition, Richardson said potential thieves have an intimate knowledge of leases and operations. Quote, that comes from the insider element, end quote, he said. Quote, crude oil is not easy to steal. It's people that perhaps are on the front lines already that know and have intimate knowledge of the how and then of the where, end quote. The payday for these thefts can be large. Quote, if you looked at a standard hauler, it is usually around 200 barrels of oil, end quote, he said. Quote, if you just do the math on that, say $80 per barrel, that's $16,000, end quote. Thieves need to sell their stolen product to generate a profit. Quote, they are going to have to sell it cheap, end quote, he said. Quote, because when you are dealing with stolen oil, you have got to have somebody who can get you into the markets, and that's the thing, end quote. While Richardson wasn't able to provide numbers for the losses within the Permian Basin, he believes it's a persistent problem. Part of tracking down potential suspects is seeing how much crude oil was taken and who had access to the property. Quote, if you see a theft that's in the 100 or 120 barrels range, that's probably a water hauler that's been on that location, end quote, he said. Quote, that's basically a good indication, at least, of what kind of truck was on the property, end quote. Richardson said that how much theft or loss occurred is an indicator of how it was transported off. Quote, that's going to be your answer, and it's going to drive your dollar loss amount. If they are putting 167 barrels in a truck, then you will know, end quote. Another factor is the speed at which crude oil thieves can pull up to one location and pull a load. It can be done in as little as 30 to 45 minutes. Quote, depending on how rare they are and what skill they are, end quote, he said. Quote, they can pull up there, and if they know what they are doing, they can be in and out pretty quickly, end quote. Five things you may have missed at this week's City Council meeting. City Council had a light agenda this week, but that doesn't mean important decisions weren't made. Here are five things to know about this week's meeting. MAF Terminal Expansion. Council members gave final approval for a right-of-way request that will make expanding the terminal at Midland International Air and Spaceport possible. At its October 9th meeting, Council approved vacating right-of-way so that underground utilities could be moved. New firefighter gear. City Council approved the purchase of Innotech's, quote, bunker gear, end quote, which consists of the protective jackets and pants firefighters wear. Midland Fire Department replaces 60 sets annually to remain compliant with the Texas Commission on Fire Protection, which mandates that bunker gear be replaced every 10 years or sooner based on wear and tear. Funding for Landfill Access Road. Council members approved the execution of a contract with Reese Albert for the city's Landfill Access Road project. The road will expand to three lanes and will be made of concrete, which, while more expensive, can better handle heavy loads. The total cost for the Solid Waste Department project is just under $4.4 million. Funding for reservoir improvements. Drainage improvements for the city's Peggy Sue Reservoir, which holds 95 million gallons of water in the Northwest Midland, were approved. A contract totaling just under $108,000 will go to Dunfrane Construction of Andrews. Grants for nonprofits. Council members approved community development block grant distributions to a variety of nonprofits around Midland. The nonprofits are Casa de Amigos, Mission Healthcare, Salvation Army, Midland County Hospital District, Senior Life Midland, Thriving United, West Texas Food Bank, Church on Wheels, and Midland Habitat for Humanity. Here's when and where to vote this Saturday and Sunday. Bring a cheat sheet to the polls. Check out our voter guide at MRT.com, which will let you choose your candidates and print out a cheat sheet that you can bring to the polls. Early voting in Texas is underway, and it won't take this weekend off. All five early voting locations in Midland County will be open Saturday and Sunday. Saturday hours are 7 a.m. to 7 p.m., and Sunday hours are 1 p.m. to 7 p.m. More than 15% of registered voters in Midland County had cast ballots through the first 4 days of early voting. With 14,661 people voting in person, and 659 ballots by mail have been received for a total of 15,320, according to Midland County Elections Office data. There are 99,004 registered voters in the county. The Elections Office reminds the public that voters who live in the portion of Odessa Civitas donates coats to Henderson students. The weather lately in Midland might be warmer than normal, but that doesn't mean temperatures won't be turning colder as winter approaches. Thanks to Civitas resources, students at Henderson Elementary will be ready. On Thursday, the energy producer donated 630 winter coats to Henderson students through Operation Warm, a nonprofit that manufactures coats and shoes for children in need. Quote, "This is a true gift to kids," end quote, Anita Gammertsfelder, director of the Midland Education Foundation, told the Reporter-Telegram after the event. The foundation serves MISD by fundraising and managing philanthropic gifts that come to the district, such as Civitas Coats donation, which is more than a gift to kids. Quote, "It's a great experience for the volunteers," end quote, Gammertsfelder said. Quote, "There's something special about coming into an elementary school and not only seeing the joy on kids' faces, but being reminded of the experiences you had as a child," end quote. Civitas is headquartered in Colorado, which knows cold weather well. Quote, "If you've ever experienced warmth and security, you know how important having a warm coat is," end quote, Gammertsfelder said. Thursday's event marked the first time it has brought Operation Warm to Texas, known more for hotter weather, but where it can get bitter cold as well, especially out west. Civitas team of volunteers were on campus all morning getting ready, giving out coats, and seeing firsthand the joy a humble gift can bring. Quote, "We believe that every child deserves to feel warm and confident, and this initiative reflects our commitment to supporting local families and enhancing the quality of life in the communities where we work," end quote, Civitas CEO Chris Doyle said in an MISD news release. Middle East election concerns drive oil prices about $70. Questions surrounding ongoing Middle East tensions and the fast-approaching election gave a boost to oil prices this week. West Texas Intermediate rose 3 of 5 trading days on the New York Mercantile Exchange, opening trading with a $1.34 rise that put prices back above $70 a barrel. Prices added $1.43 Friday to end the week at $71.78, up from $69.22 at last Friday's close, and up 3.7% for the week. Natural gas futures enjoyed a strong week on the NYMEX, rising 4 of 5 trading days, highlighted by an 18-cent surge Thursday. Futures added 5 cents Friday to close the week at $2.571, up from $2.264 at last Friday's close. Lance Robertson, chief executive officer of Endeavor Energy Resource, until its sale to Diamondback Energy earlier this year, told members of the Permian Basin section of the Society of Petroleum Engineers it is hard to plan a budget for a year or 5 years, quote, when prices move from $100 to negative $37, end quote. Addressing the organization's Permian Basin Energy Conference, quote, "We are on the toes of a full-blown Middle East conflict. Anything can happen," end quote, Robertson said. Quote, "We've seen Iran lob almost 600 ballistic missiles or drones at Israel. Every single oil facility in Saudi Arabia is also at risk. It feels very scary for the world, but the market doesn't reflect that. The market feels well supplied," end quote. Another concern Robertson mentioned was the prospect of the nearly 2 million barrels of production the Organization of Petroleum Exporting Countries and Allied Nations have withheld from the market to support prices being brought back online. Quote, "I don't know how to plan a budget if I don't know if oil is going to be $50 or $80. Uncertainty is enshrined in the market," end quote, he said. Chris Doyle, chief executive officer of Civitas Resources, also addressed the SPE conference and agreed uncertainty is the biggest issue affecting prices right now. He listed uncertainty over China's economy and Chinese demand, uncertainty over OPEC's spare capacity and bringing barrels back online, and uncertainty over current geopolitical tensions. Quote, "We will look at long-term prices at Civitas," end quote, he said. He added he sees self-correction built into the market. He explained that consolidation among upstream companies will reduce activity, which will lower crude and natural gas inventories, which will support prices. Oil report. AI helps energy firms track methane emissions. Generative artificial intelligence is finding its way into helping energy companies detect and measure methane emissions. the Permian Basin section of the Society of Petroleum Engineers recently hosted a demonstration of generative AI spatial analytics in the Delaware Basin. It was performed by Bill Barna, a principal cloud architect with Google Cloud in Dallas. Barna based the demonstration on a Carto web-based map with an embedded Gemini prompt using public data from the state of New Mexico for leases, assets, incidents released, and production stored in BigQuery. BigQuery is Google's geospatial data warehouse. Methane plumes from NASA and Jet Propulsion Laboratory's Avaris-NG program are included in the database. His queries ranged from detailing the leases owned by a specific operator, to leases owned by that operator within a certain distance, to a town, to identifying plumes within a certain distance of a town. Barna explained, New Mexico was used in the demonstration because of the quality of the data from various sources, including state agencies. Barna told attendees the Gemini prompt has the ability to perform spatial queries against a large, diverse data set using natural language. The output of spatial data can then be drawn as a feature on a map with accompanying analytics. Quote, it's not limited to methane, end quote, Barna said. Quote, it can be used for any geospatial query, end quote. The oil and gas industry has been demonized for its methane emissions, but there are other industrial sources, he said, citing landfills and agriculture as two. Google is probably very early in using generative AI in the geospatial arena, but, quote, I think it will be very common within a year, end quote, Barna said. Former Endeavor CEO touts Basin's growth. As chief executive officer of Endeavor Energy Resources until its sale to Diamondback Energy, Lance Robertson had a front row seat to the Permian Basin's growth during the last two decades. Quote, approximately 60% of the Permian Basin's producing wells were drilled in the last 24 months, end quote, he told members of the Permian Basin section of the Society of Petroleum Engineers during its Permian Basin Energy's conference. Quote, nowhere has an area gone from 1 million barrels to 6 million barrels. That's an unprecedented change, end quote. Technology has given U.S. operators better ideas, better applications to produce oil and natural gas, allowing output to rise from 2 million barrels to 13 million barrels and making the nation the world's top producer, he said. That is impacting the world, he said, as other nations seek U.S. energy. Quote, global energy demand has risen 500% in the last 10 years, end quote, Robertson told The Gathering. Quote, demand is expected to double by 2050. We're going to need to do a lot more of everything. No single source is going to fill demand, end quote. Developing nations want the abundance the U.S. has, he said. And the U.S., driven by the Permian Basin, has the ability to provide low-cost, abundant, reliable energy, quote, so they can make their own choices, grow their own economies, and lift themselves out of poverty. We need to provide that energy, end quote. Robertson said beginning around 2020, investors pushed exploration and production companies to begin practicing fiscal discipline, a trend he doesn't see coming to an end. He also expects activity levels to remain relatively flat for the next several years. He said the Permian Basin will drill an estimated 5,400 wells a year, equal to all other producing basins combined. Innovation will allow Tier 2 locations to become Tier 1 innovations, from enhanced oil recovery, refracturing existing wells, and developing new horizons will spur production, he said. Quote, we have decades of production left. It just won't look the same, end quote, he said. Warrior Technologies expand into Delaware Basin with Lobo Trucking acquisition. Warrior Technologies has announced a strategic acquisition that follows its acquisition of a large division of a private Permian Basin-based company made in the summer of 2022. The Midland-based company has acquired Lobo Trucking, expanding Warrior's footprint deeper and more extensively into the Delaware Basin of both Texas and New Mexico. Quote, Lobo is 24 years old, an incredibly well-run, well-staffed company, end quote, said Trip Womack, chairman and founder. Quote, the motivation for Warrior to buy Lobo was we wanted to expand into the Delaware Basin, end quote. He noted that the two companies had only one overlapping business line, vacuum trucks, giving Warrior the opportunity to offer its more than 9 business lines out of Lobo's yards in Hobbs and Artesia, New Mexico. Commented Jeremy Jackson, Senior Vice President of Business Development, quote, this purchase gives us the opportunity to have a large presence in two of the most active basins in the U.S., end quote. Jackson noted that the company has transitioned from its original focus of wellbore exposure at its founding in 2018 to a focus on mechanical integrity and allows Warrior to work not only with oil and gas companies, but renewables, municipalities, state and federal agencies, agriculture, and even food processing. Quote, the most exciting thing we get into is the plugging and abandonment side of things. Soil remediation, reclamation, abandonment of old wells, end quote, Jackson said. Quote, it requires highly special equipment with their own support services, end quote, all of which Warrior provides. Womack likened the equipment to huge scissors that cut the impacted soil into small pieces, which is then hauled away in Warrior's own roll-off boxes. He said the company has been performing such work with both the Texas Railroad Commission and New Mexico Oil Conservation Division. Gas remediation is another line, according to Jackson, who said large operators have turned to the company for their gas remediation needs, which helps cut down on emissions and on flaring. Womack said he doesn't anticipate losing any of Lobo's personnel. He estimated the acquisition adds 53 to Warrior's headcount, increasing it to over 250 people. In addition, Lobo adds 46 operating units to Warrior's existing 100-unit fleet. He also said it will continue to operate under the Lobo brand. Quote, it's a pleasure to find a company that's so extremely well-run, end quote, Womack said. Civitas Resources expands in Permian Basin, focuses on growth pillars. On four pillars rest the business strategy and growth of Civitas Resources: generating free cash flow, maintaining a premier balance sheet, returning capital to shareholders, and demonstrating environment, social, and governance ESG leadership. Quote, those four pillars dictate where you look, end quote, as you seek to expand, said Chris Doyle, President and Chief Executive Officer of Civitas Resources, and where the Denver-based company looked as it realized it needed to scale up was the Permian Basin. He told members of the Permian Basin section of the Society of Petroleum Engineers at its annual Permian Basin Energy Conference. The company made a transformation entrance into the Permian Basin in 2023 and now has 112,200 net acres, drilled 120 gross wells so far in 2024 with a 2.2-mile average lateral length, and is producing 344,000 barrels of oil equivalent per day. Quote, we've built the company through strategic consolidation to build scale. It's about getting enough critical mass. Valuation correlates to scale, but it's important where the scale is, end quote, he said. That 2023 acquisition gave Civitas operating scale in two of the country's lowest break-even shale basins, the Denver, Julesburg, and Permian. It's also important to put together a team that knows each basin best, Doyle added, quoting Colin Powell's, quote, hire for strength rather than lack of weakness, end quote, advice. In addition to getting the right team, he advised operators to peel as much cost out of operations as possible and maintaining those low costs, he said. Quote, that's important because it extends the life of assets. The industry has a strong track record of capital efficiency improvements and will find ways to move inventory into the economic category, end quote, he said. What the industry does is so important and the need to develop resources so important that Doyle thinks it needs to get back to its roots. Quote, we have lost the ability to explore, end quote, he said. Quote, as a company, I think we need to get back to our roots and look for additional resources, end quote, he said. Ichthys Energy eyes growth with post-Oak backing. A new energy company is targeting opportunities in the Permian Basin. Ichthys Energy Partners, co-founded by CEO Michael Pointner and CFO Will Wiedig, has received an equity commitment from Post Oak Energy Capital. Quote, we think this is the right time for our strategy right now, end quote, Pointner told the Reporter-Telegram. The company's strategy is an exploration and production company focused on operated and non-operated leasehold acquisitions and strategic partnerships in the Permian. Pointner noted that he and Wiedig, though based in Dallas, have strong ties to Midland. He said he sees the consolidation among Permian Basin upstream companies has opened up opportunities for companies like Ichthys. Quote, we may uncover opportunities that may be overlooked or that don't have, or that don't move the needle, end quote, for larger companies, he explained. Pointner said the company has a particular focus on New Mexico, but is also looking at areas like the Midland Basin and Southern Delaware Basin. His and Wiedig's background is in the Delaware, and he said there may be opportunities in New Mexico for creative operators to be strategic in acquisitions. Wiedig said they have interests beyond the large markets and want to be creative, look at small-scale opportunities, and be balanced in its approach to extend opportunities. Quote, we want to be creative and innovative to be able to move quickly, end quote, Wiedig said. A big part of the strategy is to buy non-operated small interests with partners and then target larger acquisitions that present opportunities, said Pointner. The ultimate strategy is to operate assets, he said. Quote, we're in the process of acquiring assets. Those are in various stages of evaluation, end quote, Pointner said. He added that one of the keys to Ichthys' success will be partnerships between him and Wiedig, between the company and Post Oak, and between the company and operators and non-operators. Quote, as far as the industry, we believe this is the right time for us to be involved. The world needs cheap, efficient, accessible energy. We hope to be a small, growing part of that. Within the Permian Basin, we believe it is the best oil-producing basin in North America. Given consolidation, given our strategy, our background, and our network, this is the right time to be in the Permian Basin, end quote, he said, Pointner. Community. Recent Midland College grad enjoys caring for God's fine china. After graduating with an Associate of Applied Science degree in 2007, it didn't take long for Cheryl Washington to find her, quote, calling, end quote, in life, working with older adults whom she refers to as, quote, God's fine china, end quote. Quote, my first job as a physical therapy assistant was working with athletes, end quote, Washington said. Quote, I thought that was the direction I wanted my career to take. I wanted my career. However, when I took a second job working for a home health agency, I started working with senior citizens and found that this population is wonderful. They have great stories to tell, and I love getting to know them. I've been doing rehab with older adults for about 15 years, end quote. Washington currently works for Creative Solutions in Healthcare, a Fort Worth-based company that operates several nursing homes in Texas. For the past year, she has served as rehab director at Buena Vida Nursing and Rehabilitation in Odessa, while she has also been completing a Bachelor of Applied Science degree in Health Information Management at Midland College. Prior to that, she was rehab director at Siena Nursing and Rehabilitation for 4 years. This past May, she earned her bachelor's degree with an emphasis on healthcare administration from Midland College, and now she is taking an online long-term care certification course. After completing 1,000 clinical hours, Washington will apply for a license in long-term care administration. Quote, the first step in being licensed as a long-term care administrator was to obtain a bachelor's degree, end quote, she explained. Quote, thankfully, Midland College offers a bachelor's degree in health services management that is completely online. That went well with my busy schedule of working 40-plus hours at a long-term care facility and then also working part-time with two different home health agencies, end quote. For her final capstone project, Washington created a Director of Rehab Training Manual that she hopes will be used by other facilities operated by Creative Solutions. Quote, the professors in Midland College's Health Information Management and Health Services Management programs are amazing, end quote, she said. Quote, the courses were exactly what I needed for long-term care administration. They covered leadership, working with employees, employment law, and even tips on balancing work and personal life, end quote. Time away from work for Washington includes watching football, any kind of football, but she said college football is her favorite. She also enjoys traveling, quote, off the beaten path, end quote. One of her favorite spots is Balmoray State Park in far west Texas. She has also been to the interior of Mexico and frequently takes trips to visit family in Arkansas. In late December or early January, she has plans to visit Thailand, which will be the farthest place she has ever been. Washington has spent most of her life in Odessa. She moved there from San Angelo when she was 8 years old and graduated from Permian High School in 2000. She has two children, a daughter, Ariel, who is 22, and a son, Jackson, who is 18. John Grisham's new book exposes wrongful convictions, criticizes death penalty. Famed author John Grisham is speaking out against the death penalty with his latest book, quote, Framed, Astonishing True Stories of Wrongful Conviction, end quote, co-written with Jim McCloskey, featuring 23 defendants wrongfully convicted in the United States. Before Grisham was a New York Times bestselling author, he was a criminal attorney in Mississippi and served in politics as a representative in the state. His and McCloskey's new book is part of the work with the nonprofit organization they founded called Centurion Ministries, which helps those wrongfully convicted in this country. The nonprofit began in 1983, and to date, the organization has freed 70 men and women wrongfully convicted with life or death sentences, according to the nonprofit website. Grisham and McCloskey recently prompted the book CBS Mornings. They express the issues in this country with police working cases with tunnel vision, prosecutorial neglect from fabricated evidence to win cases, or hiding evidence to win with no real accountability. In addition, once a person becomes caught up in the criminal justice system, the amount of work and money to exonerate them when innocent is exponential. As an advocate for those wrongfully convicted, Grisham in recent weeks has been outspoken in support of relief in the landmark case in Texas of Robertson, an autistic man sentenced to death for a crime that never occurred, he claims. During a press conference in September on the case, Grisham also expressed a trend with politicians or people in power who seem to prefer to execute those who have served 20-plus years behind bars for a crime they did not commit rather than admit fault and come forth to say they were wrong. Robertson's case mirrors many others in the U.S., with 23 cases highlighted in the new book, quote, Framed, Astonishing True Stories of Wrongful Conviction, end quote, recently released on October 15th and available in retail bookstores. Life Tributes. Mary Lou Hennessy, 5/14/1945 to 10/22/2024. McKinney. On a beautiful Texas fall day on October 22, 2024, Mary Lou Marie McGuire Hennessy went to be with our Lord, surrounded by her, quote, honey, end quote, and girls. She was born in Houston, Texas on May 14, 1945, and married to Richard Hennessy for 55 years. Mary Lou's family includes husband Richard Hennessy and daughters and sons-in-law, Colleen Cleveland of McKinney, Kathleen and Jared Cameron of Collinsville, and Kimberly and Hank Billings of Saverna Park, Maryland. Their nine beautiful grandchildren include Christian Young of Howe, Cora Cameron of Denison, Dalton Cameron of Sherman, Colton Gibson and Molly Billings of Saverna Park, Maryland, Wyatt Cameron of Collinsville, and McGuire and Kaylin Cleveland of McKinney. Proceeded in her death are Father John Anthony McGuire of Houston and Mother Merle McGuire of Houston. A mass of Christian burial for Mary Lou will be held at 11 o'clock a.m. Monday, November 4th, 2024 at Our Lady of Angels Catholic Church, 1914 Ridgeview Drive, Allen, Texas, 75013. Interment will follow at DFW National Cemetery, Dallas, Texas. A visitation will be held from 6 o'clock p.m. to 8 o'clock p.m., Sunday, November 3rd, 2024, at Tarantine Jackson Morrow Funeral Home, 2525 Central Expressway North, Allen, Texas, 75013, with a rosary service beginning at 7 o'clock p.m. To convey condolences or to sign an online registry, please visit www.tjmfuneral.com. Betty Ambrose Strawn, 12/5/1937 to 10/10/2024. Betty Ambrose Strawn of Midland passed away on October 10, 2024. Betty was born on December 5, 1937 in Brady, Texas, to Cyrus and Blanche Horn. Betty is survived by Mark Strawn, Susan of Tyler, Britton Strawn, Casey of Fort Worth, Colin Strawn, Candace of Fort Worth, Shay Cobb, Stephen of Dallas, and Shelley Strawn, Vic. Christy Nielsen and Lance Raglan of Bellingham, Washington. She is also survived by her sister-in-law, Dane Swinney of San Angelo, niece Tammy Chamberlain, John of Lake Ivy, and nephew Jay Swinney, Martha, of Bosque Farms, New Mexico. Betty was preceded in death by her first husband, Charles Ambrose, in 1985, and by husband Jim Strawn in 2008. A graveside service will be held on Tuesday, October 29th at 1 o'clock p.m. at Rest Haven Memorial Park, 4616 North Big Spring in Midland. In lieu of flowers, memorial donations may be made to Dog Rescue RS, P.O. Box 721, Gardendale, Texas, 79758, or the charity of your choice. Arrangements are under the direction of Nellie Pickle and Welch Funeral Home and Crematory of Midland. Online condolences may be made at www.npwelch.com. Mary Louise Dawson, 7-3-1952 to 10-5-2024. Mary Louise Dawson of Midland passed away suddenly after a brief illness on October 5, 2024. She was 72. She was predeceased by her parents, L. Decker and Louise Dawson, and is greatly loved and missed by her surviving family and friends. A memorial service will be held on Saturday, November 2nd at 11 o'clock in the morning at First Presbyterian Church of Midland, 800 West Texas Avenue. If you'd like to make a donation in her name, kindly consider Midland Memorial Hospital, the West Texas Symphony, or the Permian Basin Behavioral Health Center. Joselito Zuniga. Joselito Zuniga, 52, of Midland, passed away on Friday, October 25, 2024. Viewing will be Monday, October 28, 2024, from 10 o'clock a.m. to 9 o'clock p.m., with a rosary beginning at 7 o'clock p.m. at Llewellyn Garcia Pipkin Funeral Home Chapel. Funeral Mass is set for Tuesday, October 29, 2024, at 10 o'clock a.m., Our Lady of Guadalupe Parish and Shrine. Burial will follow at Serenity Memorial Gardens. Arrangements have been entrusted to Llewellyn Garcia Pipkin Funeral Home and Chapel. Family messages and condolences may be emailed to pipkin@nts-online.net, or you can visit our website at www.llewellyngarciapipkinfh.com. Richard Butler. Richard Butler, 72, of Midland, passed away October 24, 2024. There will be no service. Arrangements are under the direction of Nellie Pickle and Welch Funeral Home and Crematory of Midland. Online condolences may be made at www.npwelch.com.
Obituaries. Ronald Scott Scotty Tabauta, age 53, passed away on October the 22nd in Mountain Home, Texas. In line with his wishes, no services will be held. Deborah Ann Holdeman, age 63, of Odessa, died Monday, October the 21st, in Odessa. Services will be scheduled at a later date.
Hello, I'm Jesse. I'm reading from the Odessa American for Monday, October 28th. Midland-Odessa Weekly Gas Price Update, October 28th, 2024. Average gasoline prices in Midland-Odessa have fallen 16.8 cents per gallon in the last week, averaging $2.56 a gallon Monday, according to Gas Buddy's survey of 156 stations in Midland-Odessa. Prices in Midland-Odessa are 8.2 cents per gallon lower than a month ago and stand 53.0 cents per gallon lower than a year ago. The national average price of diesel has declined 2.6 cents in the last week and stands at $3.54 per gallon, the lowest level in over 1,100 days. According to Gas Buddy price reports, the cheapest station in Midland-Odessa was priced at $2.45 per gallon Sunday, while the most expensive was $2.99 per gallon, a difference of 54.0 cents per gallon. The lowest price in the state Sunday was $2.24 per gallon, while the highest was $3.59 per gallon, a difference of $1.35 per gallon. The national average price of gasoline has fallen 5.3 cents per gallon in the last week, averaging $3.07 a gallon Monday. The national average is down 12.9 cents per gallon from a month ago and stands 39.8 cents per gallon lower than a year ago, according to GasBuddy data compiled from more than 11 million weekly price reports covering over 150,000 gas stations across the country. Historical gasoline prices in Midland, Odessa, going back several years, October 28, 2023, $3.09 a gallon, October 28, 2022, $3.27 a gallon, October 28, 2021, $3.14 a gallon, October 28, 2020, $1.97 a gallon. Neighboring areas and their current gas prices: Lubbock, $2.54 a gallon, down 5.0 cents per gallon from last week's $2.59 a gallon. Amarillo, $2.51 a gallon, down 12.3 cents per gallon from last week's $2.63 a gallon. Texas, $2.58 a gallon, down 11.6 cents per gallon from last week's $2.70 per gallon. Quote, "The national average price of gasoline has continued its decline over the last week as oil prices have sunk due to Israel avoiding attacks on Iran's oil infrastructure, and seasonal decreases in demand are pushing gasoline lower, as is normal for this time of year. In addition to gasoline prices falling to their lowest level since January, the average price of diesel has now fallen to its lowest level in over 3 years," Patrick DeHaan, head of petroleum analysis at GasBuddy, said in a news release. Continuing the quote, "While many Americans may incorrectly credit the upcoming election for the declines, politicians have little influence over the strong seasonal forces that drive prices lower in autumn. With winter gasoline soon to reach the rest of California and demand continuing to decline as Americans grapple with colder weather, the drop in demand is pushing gas prices down, not politicians on either side, as much as they might like to think they do. I expect the decline in gas prices will continue into and even beyond the upcoming election," end quote. GasBuddy is the authoritative voice for gas prices and the only source for station-level data. GasBuddy's survey updates 288 times every day from the most diverse list of sources covering nearly 150,000 stations nationwide, the most comprehensive and up-to-date in the country. GasBuddy's averages, graphs, maps, and historical pricing data covering the U.S. and Canada is available 24/7. Odessa Retired Teachers Meeting set. Odessa retired teachers will have their monthly meeting on November 18th at Highland United Methodist Church, located at 1808 North Dixie Boulevard. A light lunch will be served at 11:30 a.m. and a meeting to follow. Guest speaker will be State Representative Brooks Landgraf. Come for food, fun, fellowship, and information. It's Medicare open enrollment season. The story was written by Carol A. Cates, Chief Nursing Officer, Odessa Regional Medical Center. I'm traveling this week out of state. As I get ready each morning in my hotel room, I've been listening to the local news programming. As I've been listening, two groups of ads have really stuck out to me. The first is the sheer volume of political ads, since I am visiting a swing state. We have quite a few in Midland, Odessa, but nothing like I have seen here. The other one I do see at home, and that is the number of ads for Medicare Advantage. It's Medicare open enrollment season again, and with that comes the decision for many people on their Medicare plan choices. For lack of a better way to put it, when it comes to Medicare open enrollment, the old phrase, "let the buyer beware," is a good philosophy. Medicare open enrollment for coverage in 2025 started on October 15, 2024, and ends December 7, 2024. If you are age 65 or older, it's important that you enroll for coverage during the open enrollment period. Just as important is when you enroll that you know exactly what you are getting from your coverage and that the coverage meets your individual needs. Not just now, but if you have a healthcare crisis which forces you to make major lifestyle changes, such as a fall resulting in a hip fracture, a heart attack, or a stroke. The best way to make that decision is to be informed about your options. According to Medicare.gov, there are two types of Medicare coverage plans, Original Medicare and Medicare Advantage plans. Original Medicare has two parts, Part A and Part B. Part A covers inpatient hospital care, skilled nursing facility care, nursing home care that is not custodial or long-term care, hospice care, and home health care. Some things to consider with Part A, the hospital insurance, is that it may not cover an observation, sometimes called an overnight stay, and it covers 80% of costs and has a deductible with no out-of-pocket limit. Part B, medical insurance, covers medically necessary services by healthcare providers and preventative services. Some things to consider with Part B is, again, the 80% and deductibles apply to medically necessary services. Most preventative services are covered 100%. Medigap insurance, which can be furnished by enrolling privately or is often a part of pension plans or other retirement benefits, is a good way of covering the 20% and deductible costs associated with Original Medicare. Those plans can also cover observation stays and other gaps in Original Medicare coverage. A Medicare Advantage plan, also known as Part C, is a plan that combines Parts A and B, and sometimes Part D, which I will talk about a bit, and is administered by a private insurer. They are the ones that are advertised in the ads on TV, where an older celebrity talks about free dental services, free rides to healthcare appointments, and similar benefits. Every Medicare Advantage plan is different, and if you decide to look at Medicare Advantage plans, make sure you know exactly what you are getting. Some are good at limiting the upfront costs that people experience from Original Medicare, but limit services like rehabilitation and skilled nursing care when someone has a catastrophic health event where they need more time to get back to baseline. Some are opposite, where the benefits for longer-term care are great and the upfront benefits are less. Medicare Part D is an optional addition to Medicare, which covers prescription drugs. Like most insurers, Medicare Part D works with a formulary where some drugs are covered better than others. If you know of your specific medications, you can get a really good idea of costs and the advantages to traditional Part D or a Medicare Advantage plan that includes drug coverage by looking at their formularies. Whatever plan you choose, remember you can change it next year if needed, but generally, costs to the individual stay lowest when you enroll in one plan at age 65 and stick with it. Do your own research, don't be swayed by a commercial or a company that has a vested interest in people picking specific plans. The Medicare website has a great unbiased tool in helping you find the best plan for you on their website, www.medicare.gov. Your health is far too important to put your coverage to chance. Take the saying, "Let the buyer beware," and do your research so you find the plan that works best for you and your loved ones.
Thank you for joining us for the readings of the Midland Reporter-Telegram and the Odessa American. This is the Recording Library of West Texas, enriching the lives of individuals with physical, visual, and learning disabilities since 1963. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand with your computer or favorite mobile device at recordinglibrary.org.